This message is brought to you by DSPS. TikTok and YouTube Reels are great fun for memes, recipes, and shaking your booty. But did you know that there are natural ways to trigger your brain to release dopamine? Exercise, sunlight, and sleep are just a few ways for you to get that little boost of those good feels and energy. At Doomscroll Prevention Service, we want you to be your best self. So just take that D out and scroll a normal amount. DSPS is not responsible for poor messaging and is in need of marketing overhaul.
Welcome to Qualified Nonsense, the podcast where we boldly venture into the realm of unqualified opinions, absurd advice, and dark humor, all served with a side of questionable expertise. We may not know what we're talking about, but hey, at least we sound confident until we don't. If you're looking for profound wisdom or life-changing insights, you're in the wrong place. But if you enjoy the feeling of existential dread mixed with laughter and absurdity of it all, buckle up. It's going to get awkward, it's about to get dark, and it's definitely going to get nonsensical. Enjoy the chaos. I'm Matt.
I'm Jake.
And I'm Brandon.
And this is Qualified Nonsense.
I'm so proud of us. We didn't step on each other's toes introducing ourselves.
We did very well.
You guys pushed your pride aside.
Speaking of pride, Jake, you were mentioning jowls before the recording.
I definitely thought you were
going somewhere else with that one.
So speaking of pride, jowls, go ahead.
Would you guys, like, as we get into advanced age, would you ever get, like, a facelift or do any sort of cosmetic surgery?
Yes.
Way ahead of you.
You would?
I want to go to Turkey and get the hair implant stuff.
No, you don't. Have you seen the... No, don't do that.
You hate flying. Imagine flying with your scalp on fire internationally.
That's a good point.
I got my happy pills.
You pull it all back out after it.
I guess. Yeah, I guess. I'm like,
Oh, man, that'd be a disappointing trip. No, so when I was 18, I had cosmetic surgery on my nose.
Oh, that's right.
Well, not like voluntary.
I mean,
it was voluntary.
Technically, it was voluntary because they were like, "Listen, we're already gonna cut up your face. We're just gonna. It makes sense to go in and fix that awful crooked." And I'm like, "Okay, I guess so." And that's why I have someone's rib bone right here, right there.
So squishy.
But no, I don't think. I would not go under the knife again voluntarily, especially for cosmetic stuff because I feel passionate about just letting age do its thing. What about you, Brandon?
No, I do think eventually at some point, like as I get older, I'll probably have to like get that surgery for like the old people to like have an eye lift.
Yeah.
They can see, because I think as I get older, I'll like my eyebrows and everything will sag and I won't be able to see anymore.
There's no, that's like just death slowly coming over you.
Oh, no.
It's a shroud of death slowly being pulled over my eyes.
It's like a Sharpay. It's just sort of like...
Right, here's a couple of things about plastic surgery that get me. Specifically, I guess, on the face, is we have too many examples of people that have a lot of money getting some pretty shitty jobs done. Yeah, so it's like, I am not that. So I feel like I'd be doubling, like, I feel like I'd be rolling a handful of dice on that. But the other ones is like, it's this is like the gross part of it is like the after stuff. Like, people that have facelifts, they put those like drainage cups on you, like those bags and shit. I don't want to walk around looking like a Star Wars character in some bar, like,
come on.
But like, It's so that part grosses me out to no end, to be like, oh yeah, you're gonna get this facelift, but you have to have these sacks around your neck for the next 2 weeks, draining all of your shit.
I feel like a lot of times when people have plastic surgery, they just, instead of looking younger or whatever, they just look like they had plastic surgery. Like there's just like a plastic surgery face that a lot of people have that is kind of universal, and it just looks like you've had plastic surgery.
Well, so I think there are versions of plastic surgery that are not intended to fully transform your face. And I feel like the ones that like stick out in my mind, and what it sounds like you're talking about, is are people who undergo like big procedures and like do it all at once. And I think there are certain procedures where you can just like take a little bit from here or yeah, you know, add a little bit, you know, I don't even know how it works, but like
I think there are versions that are like Dr. Darm commercials. Come to Dr. Darm. Cool sculpting. it's like, if I had that guy, if I walked into a room, he's like, you're gonna make me prettier. And he's like, Dr. Darm, it is, he came to me.
There was a poster on the New York subways for years and years and years. I forget what his name was. Dr. Zizemore, I think. And he looked like, not like someone you want to get advice on surgery from, but he would
be like, if he walked in, I'd be like, I'll pay the cancellation fee. I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I'm good. But yeah,
I think that's the other thing. Like if I were to go under and do major stuff, like, you know, a facelift or the bags under the eyes and stuff, like you're doing something that is, and I think this is one instance to be like petty, but the person that's doing it has to objectively be attractive. Cause I was like, I'm not going to go to somebody that I'm going to,
like,
you for
eyeball it. Like,
yeah,
you look like me now. It's like, fuck.
Somebody looks like Fire Marshal Bill or something.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going for a very vain thing. So I'm going to vet my person on the same vanity of like, I don't know. I mean, really think you, of all people, should be doing this on me. <It's> like,
I don't know that you're a very good authority. It's just like the same thing. Because
if you're
dentist,
painting
like,
with a mirror over here, why don't you this isn't going to be. Those.
Give me that one.
Well, I'll take one of those. That would be the same thing that, like, if you went to a dentist and the dentist had like absolutely mangled, like black and yellow.
Yeah,
teeth,
exactly.
You're like, eh, no, thank you.
Same thing with skinny chefs. Don't trust them.
Yep, don't trust him.
No. That's just the heroin.
Oh, true. There are alternative methods.
No, I mean, you know, if something makes you feel better, you go for it. You know, whatever, do what you need to do. But
yeah, but just don't get uglier, because then we'll make fun of even more.
that is kind of funny.
Oh, go ahead.
I mean, they haven't like found like how to do like hand surgery yet, or like rejuvenation stuff on the hands, so you can always tell somebody's real age by looking at their hands, because you know, someone might have like a super like snare drum tight face, but then like their hands look like, you know, Nosferatu hands or something, like
or if women wear like deep V's, like the makeup stops usually, or like it usually stops right here. So you can like, in the deep V, it was like, you know, it's like, it's like all the freckles and the wrinkles just like start right there. Looks like roots of a tree or something.
I do think it is an interesting conversation though, when you sort of go beyond the perspective of just sort of aesthetic sort of refreshening, versus the conversation of like gender affirming care type of work. And I'm in you know,
Jake's gonna turn it dark.
It's not dark, it is a real okay never mind.
I was gonna be like, if you guys had to pick, what one thing would you do? Not like, let's, the kids, the youth of the gender affirming care is like, man, we were going two very different directions.
Okay, let's go your direction. I just mean that, like, I'm in support of gender affirming care, but then also like people who undergo surgeries for the effort and the goal of making themselves feel good about their person, that them who they are. I think that's great. I for myself, I'm lucky in that I can just be comfortable with that. It for myself in getting older and getting jowly, but go fight win for everybody else. Matt, I'm sorry. Please take it.
I mean, not everybody can be this beautiful. So,
well, yeah. Sorry, everybody.
Woke up this way. No, like if you guys had to do a cosmetic thing, I'm going to say it has to be a dramatic thing. It's not going to be just like, oh, I guess I'd get braces or something.
What's like, that? What's that dick thing that you can get? The
sex change?
No. The
Brandon saw a musical about this. He hated it. Penis, vagina.
You guys used to do puppetry of the penis. that was, oh man. Listeners, we had such a good time in North Portland.
Let me go to patreon.com and sign up on the highest tier level. You can see it.
And that is why our Reddit is NSFW.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
The one that you sort of cut a tendon or something like that. And it makes it a little bit longer, but not as erect when it's erect. What do you guys know what I'm talking about? I feel like I'm
it's longer but worse.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, basically, yeah. It's longer, but it's like perpetually flaccid, so it's pretty upsetting.
What's the point? How do you sell that?
No. You still.
How do it's you, like you know, only want to impress guys at the locker room.
Man, like, that is a long, flaccid penis.
Be like, hey, man, you're 40 now. I know it's not happening. Let's at least make the other locker room boys jealous. Wow, look at that hog.
Look at that super, super unexcited hog.
I mean, yeah, as it should be, but a bunch of guys.
That is the most boring dick I've ever seen. No, but seriously, though, do you guys know what I'm talking about?
I don't.
Okay, well,
I don't have the experience with it.
Okay.
Jake, look it up on your new work computer. Show us. Do a screen share. Do a screen share.
If you know what I'm talking about, drop it into the comments.
I mean, it doesn't surprise me because
so is that what you would get, shit. Jake?
I'm circumcised, but is there like a reverse version of that where you add skin to the end of your penis?
Surely there's some more up there that needs to unroll.
Just shake it down.
Just cut that out.
Here, you can have my eyelids for today. Get them trimmed back.
God. It catches some of the eyebrow hair too, so it's got a little face. Oh man. Well, what voluntary surgery would you guys opt in for, since you don't want to do anything to your dicks? Babies.
I go straight to the b-hole. No.
Oh, there we go. I might do that.
Veneers.
Wait,
what did you say?
Veneers.
Oh, veneers. Oh yeah, but have you seen the pre-veneer?
Yeah, like, you look like Nosferatu.
Yeah, that's true. So there's like a double benefit for Brandon. He's like, ooh.
One kinky week, babe.
I probably wouldn't get veneers. Like it is one of those things that like people who have veneers always kind of looks the same.
Okay, they'll look like Gary Busey.
Look like you have veneers.
Yeah.
I mean, would you, if you had the ability and or the means, would you rip them all out and put those like studs in, like where they go into the draw?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, it would be nice to like not have to worry about your teeth falling out or anything like that.
Yeah. I get it, but again, it's one of those procedures that sounds really, really, really crude.
I probably would actually. Like I do have
sounds
bad teeth.
Sounds a bit barbaric. And,
Yeah, but growing up, I felt like you were going to the dentist every 3 months just because you liked it.
Yeah, because I have bad teeth.
Well, no, I remember you saying you enjoyed going to the dentist.
No, I do like going to the dentist. But
sadist.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I would. I don't think I would do like the hair transplant or anything like that.
I would either do that or like just some, I guess, just a facelift. But I don't really need it.
See, being fat has the advantage of not showing wrinkles. So I have a baby face already. So
I know what mine would be. I'd actually put a chin on my face this time. I'd actually get
this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get
build I haven't out been that, blessed build with funny thing is when I had my very first surgery, I learned this because I have my dad's lack of a chin, and what he found out the hard way is we have to be intubated with children's tubes because our jaw is so shallow the way it is. Yeah, they can't use normal tubes when they put the breathing tube in. They have to use children grade.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, so right, I get boys. My jaw knocked off.
Well, it sounds like I did a little bit of research, and an AI overview informed me that penis tendon surgery, also known as penis enlargement surgery, is a procedure aimed to increase the size or girth of the penis by removing or disconnecting the suspensory ligament release, or it's called a suspensory ligament release.
That's my favorite move.
Oh, it is? Yeah. You know what? I remember that actually now that I think about it.
Wait, so it says length or girth. You can't have both?
Well, no. So it looks like there are, it outlines a few different versions of penis enlargement surgery. The first one is the suspensory ligament release, which is the, this is going to be graphic. Sorry, parents who are listening. You know how
Jake Jake legitimately forgot we were recording right now.
Yeah, no, 100%. You know how you could bounce your penis?
Yes.
That tendon.
Oh, but that's so fun. You'd lose that ability?
I think so. It's like taking the harness off. What is that called? Taking the leash off the hawk.
Taking the governor off.
The red light. Taking the red light. Wait. Did this say? Is it still under the assumption you can't get an erection after this?
No, you can't. Yeah, you can still get an erection. It's just not like.
But you just can't stand in the doorway back here and be like, hey, babe. Bling, 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 bling.
Oh, I just got a peek into your life and it's upsetting. Hey, baby.
Is my stuffed animal watching? No.
Well, I apologize, everyone.
I would be disappointed, though, because the way it says, and you could have that length or girth, but if they cut the tendon, you won't know what you get until like, but if you come out of surgery and it's like that big around, like, sorry, no. It's not really long, but we got your girth.
I think that one is for length. And then it's outlined that there are other ones that you can do like silicone implants and stuff like that, which I'm not as inclined to be. I mean, actually, I don't want to do any of these things. I just remembered that being a thing. So
also, I remembered I'm 40 and it's not out as much as it used to be anyway. So
yeah, there's no danger of it.
Outside of showing up all these guys at the ballpark.
Hey guys. Did we already do a break and like a
nope.
question?
Not yet.
Nope. Okay. Sorry.
We'll probably get to that.
Now would be a good time. As I research all of these surgeries.
Keyboard warrior over here.
All right, we'll be right back.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
And welcome back. Feel free to drop us a line at qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or connect with us on our socials or our subreddit, which is where this first question is from. The user is CriticalAnd110, who we had in our last episode.
My man.
The repeat offender asking, what is your favorite novelty snack flavor? A little while back, I tried those Oreos that were cherry Coke flavored or whatever. Awful. Mm. I couldn't even fathom the Slurpee tie-in that tasted like the Oreo. What are we doing here? Hard pass. But I do like the occasional weird snack flavor. I'll stand by buttered popcorn Jelly Belly.
Oh, okay. I get down with buttered popcorn Jelly Belly. But I like to try them. I don't know that I have any that I'm like, yes, every time.
Only that one.
Yeah. But I like to diversify my palate. What about you guys?
I was going to say, yeah. I actually enjoyed the Oreos that came out because I got the Oreos and the Coke at the same time. The Coke was weird. And you guys know my affinity for Coca-Cola products.
Mm-hmm.
But the Oreos had Pop Rocks in them because it was supposed to be simulating soda.
So they were cherry Coke and not just regular Coke flavored?
I don't know if they were supposed to be cherry or not, but they were like half red, half white.
Hmm.
But yeah, the cookies were supposed to taste like the soda, so they put Pop Rocks in them, which was kind of weird. But I don't know, it was unique. It was a one-off thing. I wouldn't buy them again, but I'm glad that I did.
Yeah, I did respond here. I said, occasionally I'll find black licorice ice cream, and I've always enjoyed that.
Oh, interesting.
I've never had that.
Black licorice is one of those, either love it or hate it.
And I love it.
Same.
Does it being in ice cream form like help cut the bitter?
Yeah. Or... yeah, it's kind of sweeter than black licorice, but it still has that sort of bittery
anise
flavor.
Anise, yeah.
Anise?
Yeah.
I said anise. Is it anise? Anus?
Anise. Anise. It's star anise.
Star anise? Star anise?
I shouldn't have said anything. Let's just keep them going with
actually,
it.
Actually, speaking anyway, of surgery.
You remember nothing.
Chocolate starfish?
I don't think I actually seek those sort of things out. Typically, like if I see them, like even when I see them, I sort of like graze over them visually. I don't usually stop to be like, oh, maybe I'll get that, because more often than not, it's like $3 or $4 or $5 that I don't want to spend on.
Yeah, that. It's always like I don't like, oh, Skittles flavored Cheetos or whatever. Like I don't think like stuff like that doesn't really. I imagine when they make those kind of crossover things, it's more of a like people buy them out of morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
Rather than enjoyment.
Well, I'd also say they're super uncreative. So when looking at like novelty snacks and stuff, I'm not really like enchanted with anything that the US does, but I'm super always curious about like, oh, you can get this flavor of Lay's potato chips in Germany, and you can get this Kit Kat in Korea, and there's like a bunch of online shops that do that, but there is one that just opened up in Hazeldale, I believe it is, that has like sweets and treats and novelties from around the world. That's what gets me. I don't know about you guys, but like seeing, oh, they get this in a different country, I will always bite at that opportunity.
Actually, last time we were in Seattle, Krisha got these Scandinavian candies, like gummy candies, that there are a bunch of different flavors, and one of the flavors was sour cola. It was a sour cola gummy. It was really good. So it was kind of a weird, like it tasted like a Coke kind of, but sour. So
interesting.
Yeah.
So we all have various ties, and I believe also the submitter, the Reddit submitter, has ties to the beer industry. And I know that there's a lot of beer versions of this. Do you guys know the brewery Omnipolo? They've got a decent social media presence, but they're pretty interesting. I really like their branding. Their branding stuff is really cool. I am, and one of my favorite IPAs is one that they made a long time ago. But they do a lot of like Ben and Jerry's like flavors, and also other sort of uniquely flavored beers. And I know that's like sort of a niche thing that some beer makers do. Do you guys enjoy like the very heavily flavored beers?
All the adjuncts?
Generally, no.
Yeah.
Only in my stouts.
Well, I most often see them in stouts, I feel like.
I have seen Warheads branded beer, like sour beer. I've never tried it. I don't really like sour those are
just
that much,
those are just going to be kettle sours too, which is just
what easily does that
made
mean?
In yeah, easily made in tank. They're so the kettled culture is in stainless, versus like if you wanted to do a true sour, it would be like wood wood and captured naturally. So they're just turning out sour beers with more chemicals.
Got it.
I did have where was I? Somewhere. And they had a beer that was supposed to be like a ecto cooler, like a high C ecto cooler. And the beer was green, and it didn't taste anything like it. And it was like super acidic, and I didn't like it at all. But
what did they just get you because of the branding? It was like, oh, yeah. No, it says on the can just West Coast IPA.
No, it was branded as like a sour beer, but it was like, you know, oh, Ghostbusters themed, and that's what got me. It was at Oakshire. I had it there, and then the girl, as she was pouring it, she was like, oh, this is greener than it was yesterday, and I was like, that's not a good sign.
I will say, as the like the brewing culture and industry kind of changes, like they've been taking a huge beating with people either not drinking as much period, or they don't want craft beer or whatever. But those that have the ability to stay with their market, so adding all the unique stuff, mm-hmm. used to be really frowned upon, and like not frowned upon, but like kind of says, oh, you're not a purist, you don't know how to make real beer kind of stuff. But unfortunately, you have to conform as a business too, and say, we're going to stay on top of this so we can keep our doors open. So if people want marshmallows and shit, put marshmallows and shit. You don't have to do it on every single one, but
right. But that's a good,
you gotta do what you gotta do.
I don't know. Something I've heard is that things are kind of swinging. I mean, everything's kind of cyclical in that industry, but things are kind of swinging back to like older styles are getting popular again, like ambers and like the kind of like malty West Coasty IPAs. Like for a long time, IPAs were either hazy or they're like super light colored, but like the more ambery colored IPAs and like amber beers and stuff are starting to get popular again,
adding more dark malt. I haven't seen so much on the like the ambers. Like brewers will always resist that as much as they can. Browns, ambers, reds, just because they're not interesting. But they've kind of come back with hoppy reds. So it's almost just like a red IPA, which would have that darker malt. I have seen those kind of come back around. I did just have a brown ale at Brothers, the brewery that I was with for a bit. And they actually upped their gravity on it. And it sounded like it was kind of unintentional, but it was really good. So it is nice to see some of those come back, those old styles.
Critical End, we mentioned in our last episode, is involved with the beer industry, and I'd be interested, the commenter in our subreddit, I'd be interested to hear their takes on this. But speaking of which, speaking of sort of like maltier, reddish ales, the brewery that Critical End is involved with has a Vienna lager that's just out of this world. So if you're in Troy, Michigan, again, check them out. If you listened to last episode, Stumble Bum Brewing, that's what it's called. It's delicious.
Do it.
Vienna waits for you.
What's the most unique snack that you guys think you like that isn't maybe necessarily everybody's favorite? Like me, for example, if I go get a bag of chips, I find to get like either pork, like spicy pork rinds or Funyuns. And I know like they have a following, but I don't feel like it's a chip that most people enjoy.
I do feel like that has a sort of a ring of South of the Border sort of appetite or palate, I guess. And I'm interested in that too. Chicharrones.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that stuff too. I like, I would say, I mean, we've talked about it a few times, but I like some dry ass corn chips just because for whatever reason, the salt content and the chew, like I like a big crunch. So, oh my gosh, you know what lately I've been getting into, which is not a good thing? Costco sells a salt and pepper pistachios. Have you guys had those?
Mm-mm.
Well, if you want to not stuff your face with pistachios, don't get them.
Are they shucked or not unshucked?
They're unshucked, which is good because then I don't eat them by the handful. I just have to slow down a little bit, which is a good thing. I was introduced to them by my parents, for which I am both grateful and pretty miffed, Matt, because now I'm consuming a lot of pistachio calories because they're goddamn delicious.
I don't know much about pistachio. Are they good for you?
They're a good source of protein, and they're calorically sufficient. They're like a really good snack.
Cool.
Lightweight, yummy.
And in California, a lot of farmers have been switching kind of from almonds to pistachios because pistachios are a lot more drought tolerant. And
I didn't know that.
Like
they take up over less water.
Over the last like 40 years, they've been planting pistachio trees and they're now kind of fully coming online basically. And so I think you're seeing a lot more pistachios in stores and pistachios and things because they're pushing it harder. Like the family that, well, and I won't get into it anyway. There's a lot of stuff about water usage and it's kind of interesting to read about, but,
drop a link for that in the subreddit because I'm really interested in that. I don't know if I mentioned this already. Last episode, I talked about starting a new job, but one of the key factors of my new job is it was founded on green principles. So it's basically taking a hard look at carbon emissions of what's called Scope 3 emissions, which is the sort of remnant emissions from electrical use with regard to like the internet and ads and stuff like that. But anyway, I've been really getting into from the business perspective, and like part of my onboarding has been very, ecologically pointed sort of information and conversations and stuff. So
I guess I'd be interested in that. I have a question related to that, that maybe you would know, that when people say that, you know, like when you do a prompt for ChatGPT or any sort of AI language model, whatever, mm-hmm. when you just ask it a question, you know, people make a joke like, oh, I'm, you know, there goes a lake's worth of water, or there goes an acre of rainforest. Like, do you know, like, the actual, like, amount of energy used to generate the answer to a question or an image or whatever?
Yeah, so I'm sure everybody has noticed lately, but the when you type something into one of the sort of common search engines, there's an AI response that sort of collects data and puts it into a consumable paragraph or two, and the number that everybody uses is 200%, which is like basically 200% more energy went into soliciting that information and coming up with that answer. And what that is, so the landscape looks like this. GPUs, for the most part, which is graphical processing units, are the pieces of hardware that are used to generate a lot of this AI feedback. And they take a lot of energy to run. And these, if you think about a physical piece of hardware that gets spun up to process that AI request, it lives in a data center somewhere. That data center is powered by whatever the local power is. So whether it's coal or nuclear or hydro or wind, renewable, some other source of energy, all of that costs something, and all of that puts a level of strain on the available resources. And, you know, if it's a nuclear power plant that's feeding a bunch of data centers, they have to generate more power, which is generating more steam, which is, like, you know, that's the trickle down, is that, like, basically, like, the more electricity that it uses, the more energy that it uses, the higher level of emissions that come from it. And so I've been consuming a lot of this information lately, but yeah, basically it's just like, it takes a lot more energy to produce that. And that energy is, like, actually just electricity, like the amount of electricity used to generate that and the cost of that energy.
Matt looks like he's about to fall asleep. So
yeah. So we better change the subject.
Well, thank you for that. But
downshift. We should
probably write your congressman.
Move on.
Write your congressman. Yeah.
You want to do another question?
Yeah, we better.
All right. So
is it about this? Is it about carbon emissions? Because I'm ready.
Oh, it is. So what is the
Matt, you want
to, as it relates
one?
To AI, what is the usage of
this? I did see this a funny. From... I did see a funny me go real quick about AI that said I recently started telling ChatGPT please and thank you before and after all of my prompts, so it knows who to spare when they ultimately take over. So that's pretty good idea.
It is a good idea. I saw a funny
kill you last.
I saw a funny screenshot of I forget what the word joke is. This would be a lot more interesting if I remembered the word joke, but basically the prompt was to make ChatGPT say something, and it the response was that sort of like joke, and it's like, I made you say but or whatever, and ChatGPT was like, ha ha ha, great, now you say here. And they said here, and it gave their IP address, their like geophysical location. Like, it gave them so much information about themselves in response. It was just, I was just like, oh, that's scary. It's like, ha ha ha, I know everything about you. It's like, it's scary.
All right. This question comes from Ask Reddit user Full Foot. Oh, this might be a Oh, this person might be a Nazi because their name is Fullfoot 1488, which 1488 is a Nazi thing. So
he's gonna get a full foot up his ass.
I'm glad we chose this question.
Anyway, come at us, bro. What do you got?
User, but yeah, 14 is like the 14 words of the white nationalist, whatever, and 88 is the letter H. You know, H is the eighth letter of the alphabet. 88, two H's, Heil Hitler. Anyway.
I just looked it up because I wanted to get more information on it, and I'm sure that I just added myself
just like
to
how
a list.
Elon Musk tweeted 14 American flags at 1:14.
What a dirtbag. Anyway. So Fullfoot 1488.
Question.
Fullfoot, though. Brave.
They ask, what is the dumbest thing people take pride in?
White nationalism.
Yeah. 1488. Yeah. Idiot.
You walked right into that one.
Now I kind of want to look at their like comment history and stuff and see where they're.
All right, our producer needs to vet these questions a little bit more next time.
What's the question again? What do people stupidly take pride in? Or,
well, what's the dumbest thing people take pride in?
I'm gonna say lawns.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Well, I wouldn't say that it should be you should take pride in it if you spend a lot of time, but it's usually those people who like obsess over them. And I don't know, it's like I think it's one of the weirdest statuses you could have. Like, look at my well-kept grass. Don't walk on it. But my cat, look at my grass.
Yeah.
Also, it's just a huge, huge waste of water.
Yeah.
That too.
I mean, I feel the same way about golf courses. Every time I drive by a golf course, I'm like, fuck you. I also don't golf, so like, it doesn't matter to me, but speaking of 1488, I do think that any like
right back to Nazis.
It's pertaining the question or pertaining to the question. The heritage, I think I've really been back and forth on this. Like, there's the whole genetic like information that you can it's spit swab and like get information about your heritage. And I think that that's all well and good. And I think it's most interesting when people find out that they're not what they think they are. Not to be like a dick, but like, just, I think it's important to know that we're all mudbloods. Like we're all mixed, to some capacity. And people who take an extreme amount of pride in a particular heritage, I think it's just divisive. Like, I think there's a really fine line between pride and exclusion. And this can probably be found in any way you can exclude or like group people. But I find that always to be irritating.
Not to mention when
people
start
making that their identity, like, yeah. Oh, I'm a quarter Irish, so I'm gonna Guinness every night and boiled potato, boiled cabbage.
Oh, no, that's yeah. Scottish. Yeah,
corned beef. Yeah,
yeah, and I don't think it's a bad thing if that's something that you sort of
how dare they be proud? Those fucking idiots.
No, I mean, like, about honestly, like, it all comes back to whether you're excluding people for it or like it's how you treat it or it's how you sort of act on it. And if the action if you have pride in something, really anything, like I found this in Sandy, like growing up, like when it became most closely related to my relationship with like any religion, basically, which was like this cool club, not cool club, like clicky or any time that it's like meant to add dividers or exclusion, I'm just like, I think it's a toxin.
Yeah. I like going back to the people that are like, oh, I'm a quarter Irish. there's a line between being proud of it and being like super obnoxious of like, oh, come over to my house for, you know, I got, it's corned beef and hash Sunday. And like, they really start pushing it on you. It's yeah. like, it's like religion, right? Like you don't, if it works for you, that's awesome. Like mm-hmm. decorate yeah. your house however you want and whatever. But like, I'm not coming over for tatties and neeps every Wednesday. Because you found out that that's what you, you know.
You're not coming over
for quarter Irish. Finally, I can justify my alcoholism.
And yeah.
drink more.
yeah.
Yeah.
I do think it's cool though, like to find people that are proud of their towns. That was on one of the things you were just talking about, Jake. I do think it's cool because it kind of does give a little bit of insight to the individual and maybe some background as to who they are and why they are.
Can you expand on that? What do you, I'm not sure that I follow.
People like from Texas, for example, like, oh, you must be from Dallas. Or like, no, I'm from West Texas or whatever. Like mm-hmm. it does help kind of identify that person and a little like just a little bit of a marker as to who they are and maybe a little bit of a background to their identity.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like when people have like civic pride and they take pride in where they came from. And
yeah, it's like, oh, I'm from Sandy. Like, when did you grow up there? And you say, and it's like, oh man, you must've been one of those snowboarding kids. I'm like, no, actually I'm not. Oh, you have a big truck? No, I actually didn't. You own a nursery? Nope. What'd you do? I was just proud to be there from there, you know?
yeah. You know? I like traveling to like large cities where people are proud to say that they're from there. Like cities like Chicago or New York or New Orleans, like places like that, like where people do take a lot of pride in their city and their city's culture and the food there and all of that. Like people who are big boosters of their city.
The Booster Club. What else? I don't know. I guess like I would say I what's the, can you repeat the question? What's
the dumbest thing people take pride in?
I guess the way the question's phrased, I don't want to say like collecting, like collectibles, because I think we all collect things to a certain degree, but it's weird to have pride in like a thing that you collect that you can't take with you. Kind of a, like, I guess that's kind of my mentality behind it.
You like, can't I take have, with you, like,
when I you feel die. Great shame about the things that I collect, so.
Well, I don't know, like, I don't mean it to be, because I, all my print stuff, all the print stuff that I've collected, mm-hmm. I'm, like, I'm proud of it, but at the same time, it's like, why? I can't, like, I hope my kids are probably going to yeah. be like, fucking thank God that this shit's gone.
I don't know, though. I this is going to get dark. It's so easy to ask why, and it's really important. I love that you collect print stuff, and I love that Brandon, you have like your bobbleheads and your cute plates that are behind your head right now. Like,
way to talk down your little dolls and your little toys.
Now hear me
and
out.
To be
hear me out here.
Clear. When Matt says Prince, it's Prince Harry memorabilia.
yeah.
Now, no, but in all seriousness, and please hear me out. It's so easy to, well, maybe this is just me. Maybe I need to go talk to somebody, but it's so easy to ask why in a negative way. And it's important to have something that brings you joy in this life. I've got a little thing that I have posted here on my monitor. It says, what does it mean to live a finite and fragile life in an infinite eternal universe? And I look at that all the time because it's daunting, but like, yeah, if you zoom out enough, like time's going to eventually stop because of the heat death of the universe. So like, what's the point? Like there's no point. But if you do that, then you don't enjoy life. You don't enjoy your family. You don't enjoy any of that shit. Right. So I love that you guys have things that you that are like that we can call frivolous, but like it adds enjoyment to this, like, you know, potentially very mundane, shocking existence that is like a blip in the history of the universe. So like, I think it's fucking great.
Well, then look at all my things.
look upon my things.
Except for all the children in the factories in China that made it.
Oh, God. Yeah.
In ancient Egypt, I would have been deemed worthwhile. A god.
But
I mean, that's...
Nah, that'll be fine.
That's a good point.
No, I'm just intentionally shitting on your point. But
that would be good... The top... Oh, that's the previous episode. Never mind.
The top answer here... is I've never understood people who are proud to say they don't read.
I'm never proud to say I don't read. I just too fucking distracted.
I don't know that I've met anybody who says, I don't read and I'm proud of it.
yeah, I've never met, like, I'm always envious of the people who are like, oh, what are you reading right now? Oh my gosh, I'm reading this great book. Or I just finished that. I'm like,
I'm onto the new one.
Like, oh. And, you know, I say that, but my wife is, she burns through books like it's her job. And she has those conversations. And I'm just like, wow, you're incredible.
Yeah, my wife, she reads all the time. And she's like, guess how many books I've read? And I said, how many? And she's like, 20. She's already read 20 books this year. We're recording at the end of February, but it's.
Jeez. Oh my God.
Someone needs to stop her.
I think we've talked about this before, working themselves to death and not taking time for themselves.
Yeah.
Which is something
glamorized.
Like, I never missed a day in 40 years and, you know, whatever.
That's it all for? Like, so fucking dumb.
Yeah. Dumb. Also, you know, I saw something on LinkedIn last week about, you know, if you die tomorrow, your manager's going to have a job posting for your role by the end of the week, prepared and ready to go. And your family doesn't have that opportunity. So, like, you know, it's cliche, but also, like, that's real life, because I'm going dark again. But, like, yeah, it does seem. And the fact that it's glamorized so significantly in media, like the detective that doesn't, like, has a ruined relationship with his estranged ex-wife and children, but that's the detective that we follow, that we watch the movie about, that we watch the series about, and we're like, oh yeah, so cool, you know. I don't know.
What's the smirk, Brandon?
Well, so this person says former coworker was proud to have only changed one diaper for his three kids. Like, okay, you can't even take care of your kids. Cool, man.
Yeah, I would not brag about that. That sounds like the
reply to this says, guy I know pumps septic tanks for a living but refused to change a diaper because it made him gag. Like, okay, buddy. But the person, their username is Puttblug. And that's why I was smirking.
Oh God!
Like, wait, Puttblug?
Is that the septic cleaner guy? Septic tank guy?
I mean, that's a good name.
Perfect industry too.
Yeah, he wishes
being violent and unable to emotionally regulate as an adult, aka the "I don't take no shit off no one" people.
Or dad on a Thursday night.
Or I don't take no for an answer. Anyone who has that in their sort of vernacular.
Yeah. People who make their whole identity based on a political party.
That wouldn't happen.
This person says hashtag boy mom, hashtag army wife. Like, those people, I don't know. There's, I feel like we talked about something.
Wait, so is girl dad still okay?
What about girl boss?
Yes,
but only if you don't change their diapers.
Hashtag winning.
Hashtag dads don't babysit.
Yeah.
Anna has challenged that a few times when and rightfully so, when family members refer to a dad in the family babysitting, which is just like staying home with the kids. And mm-hmm. Anna's like, I think that's just called being a parent. And it's like, it's so good to watch. I'm so proud of my wife. I think she's just wonderful. But when she challenges that sort of shit, I'm like, oh, this is good. Get some popcorn.
Like, yeah, Chris Rock has that stand up from a long time ago. He's like, when guys are like, I'm a father to my kids. He's like, that's what you're supposed to do. What, you want a cookie?
Nice. Well,
that an episode.
Think, this one ran long. Our intro was so long. We were just so interested.
Yeah, we really clipped the tendon on this one.
Oh.
Boing. All right. Well,
longer, but thank you, doesn't Austin. Work.
I mean,
longer but worse. That's what it was.
It was pretty useless. If you ask me, this episode. So, but regardless, thank you all for listening. Please support the show over at Patreon at patreon.com/qualifiednonsense. Watch us over at YouTube at youtube.com/@qualifiednonsense. And feel free to send any questions or comments to qualifiednonsense@gmail.com or hit us up on our socials found in the episode description. And after you've done all that, please rate, review, share, like, and subscribe on your podcast app of choice. And we will see you back here next week for another brand new episode of Qualified Nonsense.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.